tell I was up a little late this morning? It's Wednesday, June the 4th, the day after Election Day. Joining us this afternoon, Humboldt County Supervisor wasn't running, so he won with 100%, Mark Lovelace.
With zero votes yesterday.
Well, you know.
No one voted for me yesterday. I'm really disappointed.
One of the things I'm waiting for is to see Sheriff Downey tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You only got 97%?
Well,
Bartholomew got 99 and change.
I thought that was interesting, looking at the folks that ran unopposed, the slight differences of, you know, a couple of people that didn't vote for this person, did vote for that person. So
some of the funny stuff. So we'll talk a little bit about the results from last night, some of the things that went on, some of the things that didn't go on, what the, impact of that will be, what the fall may look like, may not look like. Also, we'll do some regular stuff also, as we wanted to kind of play a little bit of catch up what's going on as we're looking into the new budget year and the state of the state. Okay, we'll have fun when we come back.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. Juan790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. See, I got it right this time. Smooth, right? We're back talking shop with Mark Lovelace. But before we do, our quote this afternoon. Oh, I guess Nietzsche will work on this one.
Quote. Oh, that's never a good sign.
God, give us the grace to accept with serenity the things that cannot be changed, courage to change the things that should be changed, and the wisdom to distinguish one from the other. See, that's almost appropriate.
Okay. There's a good one.
And it was familiar enough that I didn't stumble when I was reading it either. Oh, boy. So, gut reaction from the results yesterday in the neighborhood. What'd you think?
In the neighborhood, here locally, the first reaction is going to be kind of the same as looking statewide, which was just incredibly low voter turnout, which is can never be a good thing. When you start looking at the small number of people in Humboldt County that are deciding
anything,
yeah, 27,000 people in each district, roughly, not all of which are qualified voters, not all of which are registered, but when you have 2,000, 2,500 in that ballpark deciding district races, or when you have, just around the whole county, you've got 10,000 or something like that deciding a countywide race. It's a very small percentage, and it's we're doing better than Los Angeles. We had 29.3% of the voters of eligible or registered voters actually turn out. Los Angeles had 13.1% voter turnout.
Yeah. I know. You know me. I tend to be a little bit more draconian than you. You don't vote this time, you don't get the chance next time. You have to sit the next one out. This is a privilege also. Mm-hmm. And I think it's an earned thing. The apathy is appalling. It's just sad. I guess it's just flat sad that they, and I think part of it might be on our fault, media types, could be on your fault, elected types, that we haven't done a better motivational process. Not the education. I think everybody gets the connection there. But the motivation part to get people, come on, absentee, and you still can't drop a stamp on an absentee ballot? It's I guess next step will be to put it on cell phones so that everybody can do it that way. So
just
they
have an app,
to get off their butt.
So.
Yeah, it just is mind-boggling. How did you think the elections department did, or elections office did last night?
I thought they did good in past years. I know there have been problems where their system crashed from so many people trying to access it all at once or things of that sort. The timeliness of how long it takes for the reports to come in is, realistically, it's mostly a matter of geography in Humboldt County. Yeah, that you've got a lot of polling places that are pretty remote, and it takes a while to get those results in.
Because they still are having to bring in the physical ballot.
Yeah, and the timing, I thought the timing was, about what I expected. I expected the early absentee results to come in within, 15, 20 minutes of the closing of the polling places. The first round of precinct results to come in around 9:30, which they did. The third report to come in somewhere around 10:30 or 11, which came in somewhere in there. And then the final report came in, I think, just after midnight.
I don't know. I'll spot you on that one.
Yeah.
We shut it down at 11:30.
Yeah.
Do you guys vote absentee, or do you vote in the polls?
I personally still like the habit of going down there and actually,
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. I did it after 7, so I kind of had.
Yeah.
There was an interesting. Did you vote early?
I actually voted after work.
Okay, so
usually on my way in, but this time on my way out. So
I make it a habit of asking the polling, obviously, because it gives us something to talk about, how to go today.
Mm-hmm.
What was this one like versus others? Mm-hmm. And this was at Marshall, so it's in one of the Eureka ones. And it's the comment was surprisingly strong, big rush after 6. I know when Ange went, she had to stand in line for about 15 or 20 minutes. And they ran out of provisionals. And when I got there, it was busy. It was 7:10. It was busy, and not overwhelmed, but busier than normal. It was kind of a late rush. But then we had the turnout as low as it was. And it's kind of, okay, now wait a minute. Something isn't adding up. So I was wondering if your polling station was similar to what mine was.
Well, when I was there at about 6:30 yesterday evening, I was the only person in there besides the four poll workers. I think for that polling place, because of its location in the neighborhood it serves, I think most people do tend to vote early there on their way to drop kids off at Jacoby Creek School or going into work or whatever. I didn't get a chance to ask them about how things had gone.
There was a, when I was there, oh, I guess we got about 10 seconds. When I was there, I was one of the oldest people there. KINS, News and Information Times 319.
Nearly half a century in the news business should count for something. I'm Dave Silverbrand, and that's how long I've been watching the world go by. Now it's time to put it in perspective. Join me each weekday for a look at local news and views and what they mean to you from my perspective. Dave's Take 2 on KWSW 3 times each day during the 8, noon, and 5 o'clock hours. Or read them on our website, kwsw980.com.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mark Lovelace about the elections and some of the activities that went on. Mark, regardless of, obviously, we're not coming from the same political perspective on too many things.
What? But, wait.
But were you as surprised that a DA candidate, not Maggie necessarily, that anybody could have taken 50% in a four-horse race?
I think that's one of the biggest surprises from last night, definitely, here locally, has to be Maggie Fleming's resounding victory that she got 61%.
Whooping is enough. Yeah. I mean, there's no way to sugarcoat that.
I know when folks had asked me about my prediction, I did think Maggie probably was going to get the plurality, the most votes. But with four people running, and I've seen signs, for all four of them.
Everybody,
they're all out there. And there wasn't any easy math to look at Alan Dollison and Arnie Klein, who, I think going into this, were both considered the underdogs in this race. But there wasn't any clear correlation of they're going to take a bite out of, Elon or they're going to take a bite out of Maggie. Something that it seemed like, you know, there wasn't a that kind of relationship where they're going to hurt only one candidate. And so,
I thought they make more of a splash.
Yeah,
they more of an impact the two guys.
Yeah, but I don't think that the impact they made hurt Maggie or Elon, you know, one more than the other. I think that
was a different yeah, subgroup. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think that you can just look at that and say they took votes away from Elon. Plus, even if they did, all three of them didn't create enough to.
Hardly a ripple on the pond.
Yeah. So it was really a very, very surprising result. And
I would have put whatever wager, whatever odds that there was going to be action in the fall.
I don't know anyone that I'd spoken to that hadn't expected this was going to a runoff. So very definitely a big surprise, and definitely congratulations have to go to Maggie and her campaign team for pulling that off. That's quite an achievement.
Well, in the cross section of that, that was the one comment going in too, was you and I could have been in the room, and normally we go hammer and tongs. We're holding hands and, you know, and singing Kumbaya, supporting Fleming campaign. It would just get cut across all kinds of different paths.
That was an interesting aspect of this race too, was that the DA's race, right or wrong, for good or for bad, in the last few cycles with Paul Gallegos, it's been a very divisive race, and it's been about the idea that there are these two sides, and are you on this side or that side?
Mine or yours.
And
or yours,
which
or mine.
Really,
and
just
was,
shouldn't
yeah.
be the nature of the DA's job. You know, it should
well,
not
and it
w- be.
It wasn't that,
that
way when Terry was there.
Well, it started as, you know, the idea that justice for all. It was the idea that, you know, everyone deserves equal representation under the law, equal justice under the law. But somehow over the years, you know, that became this divisive issue somehow, that it wasn't a matter of equal, that it was a political agenda or something like that.
There was something else in the equation.
And again, right or wrong, good or, you know, for good or for bad, that was the baggage that got draped around the DA's office for the last three cycles. And now
maybe it's over.
And I think that it was a question of how was that going to impact this. And I think some of the campaigns tried to rev up that same kind of division, I think, others not so. So I think it was kind of a test to the voters of, you know, are we done with that? You know, or is that still going to be a driver in this race?
And of course, we'll know in 4 years.
And I think the answer was that, yeah, we're done with that.
So looking at your compadres
on
the board, surprise?
No, I don't think. I sat out this entire campaign cycle. I didn't endorse anyone locally. Just, you know, learn from experience. You know, I need to work with whoever's going to be there, and whether it's another supervisor, whether it's a DA, whether it's any of all of those county elected officials that had the great joy of running unopposed.
Well, and I did appreciate the endorsement you had for me not to run.
Yeah, yeah,
I
endorsed
like
you.
Yeah.
I implored you not to run. So, but you know, certainly I had a huge interest in watching this and wondering how it's going to turn out. The results were interesting because, you know, both of the challengers, you know, we had two incumbents that, you know, we know had had very well financed campaigns in the past. And got early starts last fall, announcing their reelection and beginning the fundraising process. And then we had challengers that didn't announce until the week before the filing deadline, or didn't make it final until the last day in one case. And so they got a late start. They got a late start on fundraising, and they were still basically, you know, still trying to get their campaigns together shortly before the absentee ballots came out. And so you look at the absentee results, the vote-by-mail results, and they were pretty overwhelming for Virginia Bass and for Ryan Sundberg, 61% for Virginia, 66% for Ryan. But then you contrast that with the the precinct results, the voters that turned out on the day of the election, and it was very different. Majority of voters on election day voted for Chris Kerrigan over Virginia, and 43% of voters voted for Sharon Latour.
KINS News and Information Times, 3:30.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humboldt County Supervisor Mark Lovelace. You going to announce today?
No.
No? Okay.
No. I'll wait till tomorrow.
Keep us in suspense.
So, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
One day to rest. So.
Oh, geez. Are you surprised at what it takes to be a countywide elected official in small little dinkerdo Humboldt County?
It's, you know, the job is what you make of it. And, you know, there's no one on this board, no one that's been on the board while I've been on there, and that hasn't worked their butt off in this job. You know, and we, each of us occupies that job in a different way. You know, there's as many different ways to hold the job, to deal with the issues, to work with staff, to work with constituents, as there are people. You build a relationship with your colleagues, with department heads, with your constituents, and with the broader community. And it's always different for each person that holds that job. And so it's an interesting experience. I don't know if there's anyone who's ever come into the job and a year later has said, yep, it's exactly what I thought it was going to be. I don't think that's the case.
I would think the only ones that would have a shot would be a spouse. Other than that, most mm-hmm. of them get smart and decide that they don't want to run. It's just interesting. The rubber chicken circuit.
Yeah.
It would be something. The amount of time to pound on doors would mm-hmm. be something. And then the fundraising, something.
Well, the running for office is such a different, totally different experience than holding office. And that's something that both of them are hard. But I spoke with a number of the folks running for a number of different offices that were asking, you know, about campaigning, about, you know, just wanting, you know, either asking for endorsement or just wanting to, you know, get my thoughts on things. And, you know, I would always advise them to just recognize that running for office is its own unique job. It has, it's not the same skill set as the one you're going to need. You know, for DA, I mean, you know, this does not.
No.
it's such a completely unique animal, and you need to look at it as a separate job than the one you're actually seeking.
Could you be elected and not pound on doors?
In Humboldt County, I don't think so. Obviously, each of the districts are different. Some of them are, you know, Virginia and I both have the, you know, luxury of having more compact, easier to walk districts. Ryan and Destel have very far-flung rural districts, and Rex is kind of a mix. But you really do need to get out there and knock on doors. And even if you don't have to, you know, even if you can just fund a massive, you know, campaign, mail campaign, TV ads, all that kind of stuff.
Community gatherings.
You miss so much. There's no better way to get a sense of what's really important to people than to just go knock on someone's door that you've never met before. And I've got one experience I had in my first campaign that just sticks with me, of a woman who, when I'm looking at the list of the next door I'm going to, a woman whose name I recognized as someone who wrote some, you know, pretty, I don't want to say nasty letters, but pretty angry letters
scathing?
In the paper. Scathing letters in the paper, and clearly had very different politics than I had. She'd written a few letters commenting on things I was involved in because I'd been involved in a lot of things. And so I knew, I had this expectation of who this woman's going to be and how this conversation's going to go. And she opened the door and she came and sat on the porch with me and we talked for a while. She came out with a walker, and what she wanted to talk about was in-home supportive services. That all these other things, the broader political ideology issues, jobs and environment and all these other things were totally, so less important than this thing that matters to her every single day of her life, which is to be able to have someone come and help her in her house. And that was just so much more important. I had this idea of who she was, because of things I'd read. And it just was a great reminder that every person out there is entitled to have their own complete suite of issues and ideas and values. And just because someone believes one thing on one issue doesn't mean that they're going to believe, something totally consistent with it over here. And it's
can't play the odds on that one. It's one by one.
Yeah, she ended up putting a sign with my name on it in her front yard, which I never would have expected.
And no bullet holes in that one?
No.
Oh, wow, gee.
I think that that's one of the things you get from going door to door is you get away from this idea that there's two sides in an election, And if there's, 27,000 people in your district, there's 27,000 sides for every issue. Everyone's going to have their own nuance around each of those issues. And that's something you just don't get unless you get out there and knock on doors and talk to people where they are,
expose yourself to the risk.
Yeah,
I'm sure everybody's got really unique stories to talk about.
Yeah, and dog stories, too. There are the dog stories.
Yeah.
And then there's the doors you open up where you get this wall of odor from the grow inside. It happens a lot, too. So
that would probably be the one I would have the most difficulty with, either that or somebody yelling at a kid.
I've never had that one.
No?
Yeah.
Good.
But, it is an experience that even if someone could get by with it, I think that they would not get the benefit of talking to all those people. They'd have a skewed idea of who their constituents are and who the people of Humboldt County are. And, so I think it's just the most important piece of a campaign is going out and knocking on doors, not just meeting people at events and stuff, because they're probably going to be folks that are already oriented around this idea or that idea, and you're going to have a sense of each group. But when you go and knock on somebody's door, you're going to get an amazing experience at every single door you go to.
More of a regular guy. Final comments about the election? Anything?
Again, I would just say that when you look at some of the results. From last night, looking at how they changed from the early absentee to the folks that actually turned out, the overall numbers may suggest a broader division. But I think that the day of voters are the ones that had the most benefit of meeting both of the candidates, hearing the most about them, better informed about both. And I think it showed less division in Humboldt County, people that are looking at two different candidates, and and that there's more, I guess, more even division in Humboldt County around this. So I don't think there were mandates one way or another. I think that Virginia and Ryan should both be quite proud of their victories and being reelected. But I hope that they'll also look at this significant number of people. It wasn't just 8%, 12%. 20%, something like that. It was a significant portion of folks that had something else that they were looking for. And what that could be, whether it's the general plan, which has been a perennial issue, and by the way, looking at our latest schedule for that, is going to be an issue in the 2016 elections yet again.
Hey, see, so you're going to have a shot at it.
There you go, yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:44.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:47. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mark Lovelace, kicking around last night a little bit. You got some more stuff to kick?
Well, just a couple other election results I thought I'd put out there. You know, in Humboldt County, we had a lot of elected officials, including the assessor, the auditor, the elections officer, or clerk recorder, coroner, sheriff, and treasurer tax collector, all of whom ran unopposed. And
it's kind of like, other than the sheriff, the business side of the county.
Yeah, basically. And congratulations to all of them for getting a walk this year.
Well, the one that was, I guess, as if there was one that got my attention or got my dander up a little bit, was with Carolyn stepping down, mm-hmm. Cernich, that there was no discussion about the replacement. It was just, one person. Really?
There was time there that certainly the schedule for these offices is public and anyone that's interested can know.
Just the lack of.
But there was no one that anybody. No one else that chose to step up. There was one person I know that had talked about possibly running for that office, but chose not to. I also wanted to congratulate our Congressman Jared Huffman on 67.4%, which is a pretty resounding affirmation of the work that he's doing. And in District 2 for State Senate, Mike McGuire got 57.4%, and Jim Wood got 40.8%, which, while not a majority, is still the highest vote getter. And so they're looking good for November. And
was anybody running against Huffman?
Yes.
I know there were, but
yeah,
I
mean, but arguably, yeah.
There was a question that we had last night, and perhaps we couldn't. Who was the last assemblyman from our district to California that was Republican? We went back to Barry Keene, and then before that, and I couldn't come up with anybody.
That Frank Riggs?
No, Riggs was the congressman.
Oh, yeah.
This is
you're right.
And it was like, talk about your endangered species.
Yeah.
So, cool that they got that kind of support.
Well, one other really interesting result yesterday was Senator Leland Yee, who, as you know, has been indicted on serious corruption charges. And if you've actually read the complaint, it is like
dead meat.
Hollywood could not come up with a more amazingly convoluted, sordid tale than what this guy's been indicted with. And yet still 287,000 people voted for him, and he still came in third in his race. So, folks, what is up with that? What is up with that? Yes, we know indicted doesn't mean convicted.
Yeah.
We get that, but still, it's read the indictment. It's pretty compelling stuff.
It's California. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
We've been talking shop with Mark Lovelace. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. So then go out and make it a good day. Hug somebody else.